Very good. Can we just thank everyone who's worked so hard? So many people have served, the sound team, the worship guys, the hospitality guys, the car park guys. They were out in the rain. Can we just thank all those guys just for serving in so many different ways? The kids team, very good. Well, for those who are not already downloading the app and distracted, the rest of you can stay with me, just the two of you. This is a real milestone in the life of the church. You know, we have been planning this for some time, feeling the Lord speaking to us, of course, to make more room, of course, to make more options for people to come on a Sunday who couldn't perhaps come at the 10:30 time. But the phrase that kept going through my mind right the way through this season is that the Lord was saying he's going to give us a multiplying mindset. A multiplying mindset. And every time I prayed about this, every time I thought about this, this phrase kept coming back, a multiplying mindset. And you know, I think that God wants to do more than just double our meetings here. This is about a way of thinking that prepares for all that God wants to do in the future through us as a community. There's something about getting ready for multiplication in lots of different areas, not just on a Sunday, although obviously this is a big one that represents so much to us. And you know, 16 years or so ago, I met Caroline's parents for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Morris. It was a moment. They'd come over from America to meet me because I just started dating Caroline. They were nervous. I don't see why. But we met, and they had four kids. Caroline was one of them. And so we met. Well, I met them again this summer, 16 years or so later. And now they still have four children. They have 13 grandchildren. And three of them are mine. I mean, what happened? I mean, I know what happened, but I mean, what? I mean, the last time I looked, I was 13, sitting at the back of a German lesson at school, looking up rude words in the German dictionary. And now here I am. Anyone else do that? And here I am. Here I am 30 years later, three kids, part of an extended family. The reality is, you know, families multiply. It's a good thing. It's a good thing when families multiply. And it's so critical that we get a realization of the goodness of that. It's part of God's design. It's part of his plan. And we've got to have a mindset for multiplication. It's so critical that we get hold of this. You know, there was a movie, Citizen Kane, and it starred, it was a very, very old movie. Some of you will have seen it. And it starred a guy called Orson Welles. And it was his debut. It was his first movie. And they actually say that Citizen Kane was possibly the greatest movie debut of anyone in history of cinema. Orson Welles, 26 years old, just blew the world away with his performance in Citizen Kane and became instantly, overnight, famous. Not only in Hollywood, but Broadway. The sad thing was as his life develops, he became not famous really for his artistic talent in Citizen Kane, but for his ability to eat. Seriously. So in Hollywood, Orson Welles was legendary for his ability to eat. He would walk into a restaurant and order, and they would shout to the back, "It's Orson Welles!" And he would immediately get a double portion. He set the record in Hollywood at a hot dog stand for eating 18 hot dogs in one sitting. Seriously, by the end of his life, he was huge and he could eat enormous amounts, and that was what he was famous for. In fact, his swan song movie was this, Transformers, the first movie. Now, no offense to anyone who's seen that movie, but how do you go from Citizen Kane to Transformers, the movie, in one career? How do you get there? How do you go on that progression? You know, so many waste their lives, actually. They waste the talent that they've been given. Some of you like Transformers, like, that's outrageous what you're saying. So many waste the talent there. But you know, Rupert Murdoch recently, you know, set up this huge movie, a huge entertainment kind of news conglomerate. Do you know what he said recently in an interview? He said, I feel like I wasted half my life. So many go through life feeling like they've wasted so much of it. But God wants us to not make that mistake. One of the ways that we can avoid it is to have a multiplying mindset. To have a multiplying mindset. To leave a legacy. To leave a multiplication of ourselves on this planet. And God wants to speak to us about that this morning, I believe. And so I want to look at four areas as I've been studying the scriptures on this concept of a multiplying mindset. I want to look at this. It applies to all of us, no matter how young or old in the faith we are. It's so critical that we get a hold of this. So let's just pray and we'll just ask the Lord. Father, we just pray that in this moment in the history of our church, that you would not just multiply meetings, which is a good thing, but that you would in our spirits give us a multiplying mindset. That you'd give us a heart and a passion to not waste our lives, not to waste a day of our lives, Lord, but to make it count, to make this time that we have count We pray, speak to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen. So four things, and I want to also illustrate some of the goals that we as a team, as we've been talking about, have been praying about over this next academic year, want to see. So first thing, the first thing is this, is the reality of this is that we follow a God who has a heart and a vision for multiplication. A multiplying mindset comes from God himself. He is the one who has got a mindset for multiplication. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. It says, God, this is God to the first humans. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. God created us for relationship with him, but also inbuilt in us the desire and the ability to multiply, to fill the earth. It's not just about having children. This is a whole mindset that we're meant to influence and transform the world around us. We are meant to bring this planet, as it were, into submission to God's will and his reign. He has a multiplying mindset. If something isn't multiplying, it's dying. If something that you're involved with isn't multiplying, it's dying. That's the only other option available. Multiplication means life. So whether if you're at university or at school, you know, your mindset must be this, not just to survive, not just to get through, not just to perhaps kind of survive the experience, but to multiply what God has put in you. Is your vision big enough for every situation, every season that you're in? You know, all of us have got to get hold of this. We've got to have a big vision for our lives. We've got to have a big vision for our lives. We've got to get a hold of the fact that God has a big vision for us, and so we've got to have a big vision. We've got to get in line with it. He is the God of multiplication. Some of us have lost our vision on the road. We've lost this vision of multiplication on the road, maybe through disappointment, maybe through pain. I don't know why, but some of us have lost that vision. Do you know when some of the first settlers to land in the Northern America, in the States, the first settlers there, in one particular area, they set up, they landed in year one, they kind of got established. In year two, they established a town. In year three, they elected a government of that town, a ruling kind of government for that town. In year four, that government decided to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. Going nowhere, 5 miles into the wilderness. In year five, the people of the town decided to impeach that government to get them out of power because they thought, what's the point of building a road? It's a waste of our money to build a road into the wilderness. In just 5 years, a people who had traveled 3,000 miles on a boat at the risk of their lives to plant something new in a new nation, within 5 years had lost all vision. They're like, this is crazy. Why would we build a road into the wilderness? There's no point. There's no one there. In 5 years, they'd sacrificed everything to get there, and then they'd lost their vision. It's so critical that we recognize that God is a God of multiplication. He's got a multiplication mindset. Have you lost that? Have you got this? As we're praying as a team in this whole area, various goals that we want to go after this year, we want to keep recognizing that God is a God of multiplication. This is his vision. So we've been praying over various things. Four goals I want to introduce you. The first one is this. We want to see this year 10 incurable conditions healed this year. Documented incurable conditions. We've got some doctors amongst us. I'm sure they can help us. But we've seen many healings. I thought Anne's story this morning was just phenomenal. But we're saying, God, give us 10 documented, verified things that were completely incurable and that you have broken through. I don't know if that excites you. But let's ask the Lord for it this year. So the first thing is a multiplying mindset comes from the heart of God. The second thing is this. A multiplying mindset realizes that the kingdom of God is going to impact every area of society. We've got to change our thinking. Firstly, to recognize that God is the one who initiated this thing. He is the one who's got a multiplying mindset. But secondly, his kingdom is going to invade, it's going to impact every area of society. Matthew 13, 33, it talks about Jesus. He says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. This is the nature of the kingdom of God. It is inbuilt to multiply into every area of society. My daughter is suddenly, fantastically, wonderfully, without any inspiration from us, into making bread. She just loves making bread. And it's like worship. It's like, I mean, it's just amazing. She's coming up with these recipes. She's researching these recipes, making this bread. And so yesterday, in the morning, she made up this batch of bread completely spontaneously. It's like, why you have children? And completely spontaneously, she made this bread and she left it there. And we were out much later than we thought. And we came home, and normally it's left to rise. And we came, walked to the door. I went straight away to see this thing. And it was literally exploding out the top. It was exploding out the top of the pot. It's like the cling film was like stretched to capacity, and it was like starting to pour down the side. And we were all like, the rest of the family were like, wow, that's amazing. You know, didn't expect anything like that. Kaya's response was, I was worried that that was going to happen. You see, she understands yeast. She understands that yeast, given enough time, is just going to take over. And Jesus wants us to have that mindset of the kingdom today. That mindset that the kingdom of God is going to invade every area of society. You're worried about the rise of secularism in our society? Don't worry. Pray, but don't worry. Because atheism and secularism just creates a vacuum. It just creates a vacuum. We've seen it in so many other nations. You saw it in China. You see it all over the place. It just creates a vacuum. Once that vacuum gets created, boom, the kingdom of God just rushes in. Don't worry, pray. But don't worry, because the kingdom of God is going to invade every area of society. Don't be surprised. In fact, don't be surprised when the kingdom of God, don't be surprised when you see an area of the kingdom, an area of life of society that isn't invaded by the kingdom of God. Be surprised when it isn't. You know, we need to flip our mindset. We need to start to see areas of our society that aren't invaded by God's kingdom and think, what's going on there? We need to start to pray. We need to shift our mindset, because the design of the kingdom is it's going to invade every area of this planet. And so if you were here a few weeks ago, a few months ago actually, there was a lady, and she was picked out in the meeting. And one of the guys, our prophetic guys, he picked her out and he said, I see you, he said, and I see you standing at a door and karate kicking that door. Anyone here remember that? Karate kicking this door. And he said, you kick this door in, and it was a red door. You kick this door in, the door bursts open, and it's like God's kingdom just invades this whole area. And she immediately, he said, and on the door, strangely, she said, I see the number 43. It's just random. And the rest was like, random. She immediately burst into tears. She was weeping and weeping and weeping. We found out later why. She has been working in a school that's entirely Muslim for like 2 or 3 years, praying, saying, God, what is going on here? Your gospel, your kingdom's just not touching these people, and particularly the staff, all of whom I think are Muslim. Nothing's touching them. She said, God spoke to her that morning. Why? The door of the staff room is red, and there are 43 staff in her staff room. And suddenly she knew. Someone random, some stranger, suddenly realized she knew God himself is speaking. Just keep going. It's a matter of time. Like yeast, the kingdom is going to break in. The kingdom is going to invade. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to realize, I don't know what your impression of church is, but this is what the church should be about. Touching and bringing God's love and his kindness and his compassion and his mercy into every area of society. And that's the part, that's the church that you're visiting, and we would urge you, come and join us. Come and make a difference, because we're not just here to meet on a Sunday morning. Church starts when we walk out of those doors. That's when it starts, when we get out of those doors and we're able to touch people with the love and the joy and the mercy of God that we found here. That's what the cross was. It was Jesus' demonstration on the planet of God's love for us that we then take out to the nations. So the second thing is this, having a multiplying mindset means that God's kingdom is going to break in every area of society. One of the reasons that we've started a whole new type of group, we've run small groups for many years, and many of you know about small groups and what they're about. If not, you can find out on our website. But we started a new type of group called Missional Communities. And the reason is that, I just want to just explain a little bit of the difference between a missional community and a small group. A missional community has got mission right at the heart of it. Now, it's still a community, so you're still going to study the Bible together, you're still going to pray together, you're still going to care for one another, you're still going to support one another, but right at the heart of it is a leader with a vision to reach a certain area of society with God's kingdom. It's a leader who's asked themselves the question, what is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? And their passion then is to gather others around them to reach that area. And so we've got a group that's reaching French speakers, haven't we? We've got a group that's a creative group. We've got a group that's reaching this area of Caldwell. We've got a group that's into prison. It's just the beginning. We've only got a few groups started. But we're really feeling actually there's something of God on this. We're going to have a strategy of two different groups running. We're going to have small groups and we value them. We're going to keep investing in them. But we're also going to start lots of these missional communities. And so one of our goals in this next 12-month period, by September 2014, is going to be, as a community, to start 20 new groups. We have never done that in the history of the church. I'm slightly nervous. I'm very nervous. But I'm trusting that God is saying he's going to move us into a season of multiplication. And at the end, there's a very practical response that the groups that are looking for people to come and join them on their mission, we've got some small groups as well that are looking for people to join, are just going to be around the auditorium and you can go and chat to them. If you don't want to join, just go and encourage them and bless them and just say, go for it, guys, we'll be praying for you. But they are looking seriously for people to come and join them on their mission. And our prayer, guys, as a church, I want to say, let's start 20 new groups this year. Let's start. You might have led before and stopped leading. Let's get back in the game of leadership and start leading a group. You might never have led before. We want to train you and equip you. But this is going to be key for us this year as a community. We can't just multiply people without multiplying groups to gather those people into mission and community together. The third thing is this: a multiplying mindset realizes that a healthy disciple is a multiplying disciple. Matthew 13:23. But the one who received, this is Jesus speaking, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times that which was sown. A disciple is someone who's learning to live life like Jesus. And what Jesus is saying here, he gives a picture here of a disciple being like a seed falling on good soil. And he's saying this: healthy disciples naturally multiply. They naturally reproduce themselves. They naturally produce life. And so if we're making disciples, and if we are disciples, then we should naturally be expecting to multiply ourselves. But you know, as I was reflecting on this, what stops us multiplying? What stunts that? What stunts that in me over the years? I'm in a season now where trying to multiply myself like crazy, as I'll talk about in a moment. But what has stopped me over the years? A few different things. Firstly, a low value of myself and what I do. Anyone else felt that? A low value, just a wrong picture of who I am and what God has put in me. The feeling that perhaps, oh, there's others who are older, or there's others who are more educated, or there are others who have got their lives together. The problem is the 80-year-olds who have got two PhDs, whose lives are completely sorted, they are thin on the ground, I have to say. We don't have an armload of those type of people. So if I'm waiting to be 80 with my double PhD, with my life completely sorted, I might be waiting forever for that to actually arrive. And the reality is, God's calling me to multiply now with what I have. And what I have been given, he's saying, give that away. And so if that's you, if that's that kind of low value of yourself has stunted you, break that mindset, because we need to have a multiplying mindset that says, you know what, even with the little that I feel like I have, I'm just going to give it away. I'm just going to find someone. I'm just going to give it away. I'm going to find someone to give this away to, because this is what God's made me to be. A healthy disciple is a multiplying disciple. Secondly, it's a fear. What if it goes wrong? You know, E. Stanley Jones, the great missionary, said this. He said, fear is sand in the machinery of life. And where I let fear in my heart, it just grinds things to a stop. It stops me multiplying because I'm afraid of what I might lose. There's a cost. And then that's the last thing, is comfort. I don't want to spend the time or the effort involved in multiplying. Multiplying myself, giving myself away, trying to replicate what God's given me, it's just costly. It doesn't come without cost. It comes at the sacrifice of my comfort. But it's like a guitar saying, do you know what, it's really tiring making music. You know, imagine you're talking to a guitar and it says, do you know what, it's really tiring, and my strings break and everything. You'd be like, but that's what you're for. I mean, what else are you going to do? Be an ornament? I mean, guitars make horrible ornaments. You know, they sit on the shelf, they fall off, they clatter. They're terrible ornaments. What are you going to do with your life? I mean, what was the point of Toy Story? Toys are not meant to be behind glass. They're meant to be played with. Sorry to bring a moral lesson out of Toy Story, but that was it. I've watched it enough times. I should know. That's the point. The point is this. That's what we're for. Yes, it's costly. Yes, we have to step out of our comfort zones, but that's what we're made for. to multiply ourselves, to give ourselves away. And as we do, God promises himself he will be our comfort. You know, as I let go of worldly comforts, God promises by his Holy Spirit, he will be my comfort. He will be the one who comforts me. And I've seen that time and time again in my life. And one of the things I want us to pray for, and of course, seeing people come through the faith in Christ is not the only measure of multiplication. But let's pray this year, guys, as a goal. The maximum number of baptisms that we've ever held publicly as a church is 25 people. We want to ask God for 40 this year. We want to say, God, if you're doing this, you're multiplying yourselves, do something of significance here. We want to see 10 incurable diseases. We want to see 20 groups started. Let's see 40 people baptized. And we might have other ways that in other places that we can baptize them. We might do a baptism in the summer down the river. I don't know, but let's just ask God as a community. God, give us 40. Well, maximum we've ever hit, I think it was a couple of years ago, it was 25. Let's ask him for 40, and then we'll go beyond that. And then lastly, a multiplication mindset produces a supply of leaders. Matthew 9:37, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You see, Jesus saw it. He saw that the kingdom was going to multiply and that we were going to be part of this multiplication family that was forever growing. But he saw the problem, which was this: the issue's not going to be those that want to come in. The issue's not going to be those that want to join. The issue's not the harvest. The issue is going to be with the leaders and the workers. I personally have not taken this seriously enough. I was convicted even as I was praying this. How much time do I pray, God, send us more leaders? I worry about it, but I don't pray enough about it. I want to change my prayer life. This week of prayer, I'd call us as a community, God, let's just pray, God, give us more leaders. We need, because a multiplication mindset actually will produce leaders itself. I'm regularly praying now as I started to think about these things. I'm regularly praying, God, how can I give myself away? How can I? And I'm meeting with 4 or 5 other church leaders over Skype. I've picked up a whole French group which I'm meeting with, and I don't even speak French, but they're coping. And it is confusing at sometimes though, because I'm so used to kissing people on 2 cheeks now. I was saying hello to a British guy the other day, and I kissed him by mistake. It was really awkward. We kind of went in for the handshake. He went for a hug. I ended up kissing him on the cheek. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you're not French and you're a man. And so I backwards, we both walked the opposite directions. And so it does confuse you. On inputting people in any different areas of life. I'm just trying to multiply what God has given me. The little I feel that I've got, I'm trying to multiply in any way that I can to give it away. But I want to join that with a prayer. God, give us more leaders. Give us a multiplying mindset and give us more leaders as a community. You know, in Acts 6, that every time up to that point that God has added to the church, Luke always uses the word added. He always, even when 3,000 got added, he used the word added. And then you get to Acts 6, and the disciples start to fall out because the structures are just creaking. They haven't got enough food for one part of the community, and they're just the whole thing. And so what they do is they say, right, let's take a whole raft of new leaders. Let's lay hands on them. You read that in Acts 6. In verse 6 it says, they set these guys before them, before the apostles. They prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. That's the first word, that first time that Luke uses the word multiplied, and that after that point is the word he uses over and over again. It's like when there was a release of leadership, multiplication just happened. And so in this season, we need to be praying, God, will you release leaders? And if you are a leader, you need to be immediately thinking, who am I giving myself away to? Who am I bringing along? This is not about a machine. This is about family. This is about drawing someone alongside. This is about connecting in. If you feel like I'm not sure how I fit into this, then find someone. Find a leader that inspires you and get alongside them. Start to run with them. If you are a leader, start to multiply yourself into someone else. Let's all do ourselves out of a job in this season as we raise up so many people and as we pray for more leaders. And you know, this doesn't just apply to our lives here in this church. This applies massively out in the workplace. You know, so few people in the workplace ever feel that a leader gets hold of them. The first leader who ever got hold of me actually was not a Christian. He was a non-Christian guy who I met in a workplace, and he was the first guy to say, "I believe in you, Simon. Come with me. Stick with me." He was gutted when I decided to work for the church, but he said he'd support me anyway. But he was the first leader who'd ever said, "Come and stick with me. Come run with me. Come be alongside me." Some of us, part of our influence is going to be out in the workplace, finding somebody, somebody who we work with and saying, come, let me invest in your life. Let me teach you what I've known about leadership and about life. There's a multiplication that's got to happen in all areas of our lives. And you know, we want to just ask God, not just for enough leaders for us, but we want to ask God that we'll be a natural export to other churches. We send teams all the time, all over the place, to all sorts of places, different nations. I'm going to Turkey in a couple of weeks to invest in a whole group of people working in the Muslim world. I always end up preaching to them, and I feel like they should be preaching to me, but anyway, it's humbling. You just give away what you've got. But we want to be continually doing that. And so one of our goals we want to say in the next year is this, that we would send 80 individuals out on teams to different churches, to different nations, to support and strengthen, some for short term, some maybe for long term, but to, as a community, to be a net exporter of leaders. We don't just want to ask God for leaders for this community, but we want to say, God, give us leaders that we can send out to pray, to minister, to heal the sick, to set free the oppressed. And so that's our fourth goal that we're asking the Lord for. 10 incurable conditions, 20 groups added, 40 baptisms, 80 people sent out on teams. You can see what we did there with the numbers. If not, come and talk to me at the end and I'll explain. But the reality is, it's about multiplication. These numbers just illustrate. They just illustrate what God is calling us to do, to have a multiplying mindset. So what's your response? I would urge all of us, let's be praying for this. As we go into this season now of two meetings on Sunday morning, let's pray that it's beyond that, that we end up having a multiplying mindset. Let's get rid of the blocks in our hearts. We'll pray for that in a moment. Let's start leading. There's a Missional Community Explorers meeting, I think, on October the 29th, where you can find out about missional communities, find out more about them than I could tell you here. We'll have a whole evening dedicated if you want to be part of one, if you might think you might want to lead one, if you're not sure what it's all about, just want to turn up and come along to that night. Let's start leading. If you're already leading, multiply yourself in this season. Find someone, drag them along with you, willingly, of course, and multiply your life into theirs. This is what families do, and this is what it's about. And guys, let's just dive in. The Lord has just got great plans. It's so exciting. I'm asking God, you know, Brick Hill have started another site in the town. All Nations Church have started another site in the town. I'm saying, God, we want to see more. We want to see multiple churches, over 1,000 people in this town. It's not just about us. This is about Him impacting a town, impacting a nation. It's such an exciting time to be alive. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Father.